I think they like this team better than last year.
Collectively as a group, I think it's a better team.
I mean, what did we think was going to happen for the first-year guy following Saban?
No.
I mean, that might be a preview of the national championship
game. Yeah.
Welcome back to another episode and a new season of the Southern Football Report. Back again for season number two, the Southern Football Report on the airwaves. And we're back in the studio, this time recording between weeks zero and week one. This is the post week zero, pre week one episode of the Southern Football Report. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Welcoming back into the studio, directly across from me, sitting at my 12 o'clock, I've got Brian Howell. Brian Howell, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. Good to be back.
Are you excited about football?
I am.
You don't care?
It's very.
Just like, yeah.
I'm all about it. Yeah. Ready.
You've been doing your research?
Oh, yeah.
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 Me too. I'm excited. And then to your right, I'm guessing he's at about 10 o'clock right now. If the face of the clock sits as I think it does, Kyle Shaver.
Back like we never left, fellas.
I know.
Happy the football's back. It's been a long summer. The Braves are terrible.
Man.
The summer has been long.
Man, the Braves are bad. I had not quite 100% given up on the Braves. I kept thinking there's still like a 0.5% chance that they could do something. At this point, I mean.
Like 12 in a row or something?
They'd have to win like.
Yeah. How many are left?
25 games, something like that. Maybe a little more, 30.
Not good.
No,
it's I guess over. Hurston's the only bright point, right?
Yeah, well, Thomasville guy, just lighting it up. As a matter of fact, I heard on the Braves broadcast that when the Braves play the Marlins this next week, he'll be matched up against Sandy Alcantara, who is the Marlins' best pitcher. Of course, he's returning from injury. He missed all of last year, had Tommy John surgery. But prior to that, he was a Cy Young guy. And so Hurston is now the Braves' best pitcher, going up against the Marlins' best pitcher.
Yeah.
Kind of surprising.
Yeah. I mean, exciting.
It's quite a run he's on for earned runs.
A 0.73 ERA?
Yeah.
It's a football podcast. That's dang impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my man's doing good things up there in Atlanta. I hope that, you know, he's going to finish the season strong and go into spring training with the option of winning a starting job in that rotation next year. I can't see him sending him back down.
No.
As long as he stays healthy the
Not
rest
like
of this
that.
Year. No.
Heck no.
All right. Well, you're right. It's a football podcast, and our poor Braves don't give us much to talk about, so we'll just dive right on in. Before we get into the 2025 season, I did think of something that I didn't put on our outline that I wanted to surprise you guys with. So speaking of surprises, what was your biggest surprise from last season? Of course, we had lots of storylines. We had teams that overachieved and underachieved. Ohio State wins the national championship. That probably didn't surprise a lot of people if you would have asked in August of last year. So looking back at 2024, and spoiler alert, I'm not going to say that it was my favorite team, the Seminoles, going 2-10.
That was a big one.
That was a big one. That was a big surprise. But, you know, I feel like I've hashed and rehashed that so much. So give me something that sticks out to you from last season.
Ohio State rebounding from the Michigan loss and going on a tear like they did, just off the top of my head.
Their offense looked completely different once they got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like they had a sense of urgency that they didn't have before. Where was that 2 weeks prior or 3 weeks prior at Michigan?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was baffling. Yeah. We hadn't talked a lot since then on the podcast, but that was crazy, that rebound, for sure. I was a Notre Dame hater at the beginning of the year after they lose to Northern Illinois. They won't make the playoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here they make the playoff and beat my dogs and wind up in the national championship. I mean, that rebound itself was impressive.
I was going to say Notre Dame, and I think as impressive as anything was Notre Dame's playoff performance.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame has traditionally been known to, once they get to the big game against the big boys, not being able to hang. And so you say, yeah, well, they're going to make the playoffs after, you know, an 11-1 season. But then, like, what's going to happen that first game?
Yeah.
And then they just went. And they were pretty I mean, they hung with Ohio State for – you know, a good portion of that national championship game. So, I would say Notre Dame's playoff performance, you know, was a big surprise to me.
Can they join a conference yet?
Thanks to the SEC going to 9 games, Notre Dame says somehow this works perfectly in their favor and is evidence as to why they'll never join a conference.
Why don't everybody gang up on them and just say you have to?
Why don't everybody just not play them?
Yeah.
Why? And then they don't get in the playoff.
You're not that special.
I mean, I'm with you. I part of me likes the fact that they're like a lone wolf and they have the clout and the brand to be able to do what they want to, and they're not beholden to conference. And, you know, their fan support is enough. You know, their tradition has built them the equity that allows them to be there. I'm with you. I don't think it's, I mean, I hate to use the term, it's unfair, but like, I don't think it's equitable that Notre Dame gets to do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
But I like,
what was the number? I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but if you make the playoff, you get like what, 20 million or something. Well, Georgia, Texas, whatever, Clemson, SMU, make the playoff.
The conference, I think.
The conference takes the 20 million and divvies it up amongst the however many teams there are.
Depending
on
the conference.
Notre Dame got all 20 million.
Yeah.
They get the whole TV deal.
They get all of it.
Yeah. 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 So some conferences, like the ACC,
there's
a revenue
share. Yeah,
They'll reward those teams that made it. They get a larger piece of that 20 million. Whereas I think in the SEC, it's
flat.
Just split.
Yeah.
What are there, 16 teams?
Or just, I don't know, man. I need them to play on the same field with everybody else.
Well, this is a larger discussion, but I'm with you. I think everybody, we will always continue to have the schedule disparity conversation while everybody is playing their own conference schedule and doing their own thing and then trying to bring it all together at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got to figure out a way. And I'm not a fan of the 9-game SEC schedule and Big Ten schedule, like 9 conference games. But I do like the fact that the SEC is saying also you need to play one other Power 4 team in your non-conference. I wish they would go 8 conference games and then three non-conference games, one from the ACC, one from the Big Ten, one from the Big 12, mm-hmm. and then schedule your, you know, Mercer or whoever you want to play.
Now, is the Big Ten going to turn around and say, now you have to play?
They should.
Well, they're the ones that wanted us to do this.
Right.
So yeah. bad. So right. now they're going to – are they going to play another game? Because they don't very often.
You're saying another game versus non-conference.
Yes.
Like Power 4 teams.
Yes.
They should. They should.
You have – their middle tier does not play.
No.
Ohio State does. Michigan does. Wisconsin does. Penn State has on occasion.
Yeah, they have.
But, like, you don't have the middle of the pack playing outside the conference much.
You know, in basketball – they do have these like
challenges,
cross conference,
yeah, Big 12,
yeah, Big 10,
ACC challenge,
and all in the early season. And I think they have to do that because now we're up to 68 teams in the basketball tournament.
Well, and they have that FPI, whatever they're
gosh, that's where college football is headed.
Whatever their
y'all.
Rating scale is about, you've got the. What are they calling, like tier 1, tier 2, tier 3
yes.
wins and losses? It's nuts.
This is why I'm worried about the football playoff. It continues to expand, and we keep coming up with new metrics to determine like how good this team actually is when we could really just figure out a way to get us all on the same page.
There's too many teams, though, to play a schedule
like
that.
Yeah, you got to get rid of the ones that don't contribute. Get rid of the ones that aren't real contenders. Get rid of the... You know, I want to say Syracuse, but Syracuse was pretty good last year. But you get my point. Like,
get rid
of the ones that aren't really invested in football and say, here are your 40 teams or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So as we've welcomed each other back and welcomed the listeners back to season 2 of the Southern Football Report, let's just dive right on in. We're going to preview a couple of teams that we're most intimately familiar with, and we'll start with the Georgia Bulldogs. Of course, last year, some would consider a successful season. Most fans of any other team in the sport would consider winning your conference and, you know, going to the playoff a successful season. Some Georgia fans probably don't look at it that way because you didn't play for or win the national championship. Let's look at Georgia in 2025. Let's look forward and let's talk some strengths and weaknesses of this 2025 edition of the Georgia Bulldogs. Kyle, you go first.
Well, I've been reading like Brian has. I'm sure like you've been hearing it. The strength it sounds like right now has been the receiving core. You've got which is a total flip. You've got transfers that have come in. You've got talented freshmen that have apparently, you know, done well through spring practice and camp. But it seems that obviously is the offensive strength with the unknown. You have a little bit of a sample size with Gunner, not a huge sample size. And then on the defensive side, obviously it's the linebacking core, maybe the best linebacking core in the country as far as depth goes. And then I failed to mention the tight end group is just insane. But that's become a known thing and a kind of a given at Georgia. But it sounds like offensively, transfer wide receivers and the freshmen, and then defensively, it sounds like the strength's going to be linebacking core.
Yeah. I had some of the same things. I started off with young and talented. I mean, just very young, first of all.
Yeah.
50-some-odd first- and second-year players.
And I think you probably have that across college football.
Probably.
If you don't, and your team is pretty talented, and they have experience.
Yeah. Like Ohio State last year.
Yeah. Those teams are going to – like Clemson this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fourth-year.
Yeah. Right.
Secondary linebackers and wide receivers are what I put as a strength. I mean, you got three or four corners vying for two spots.
Yeah.
And it's very competitive. And we know that Everett, you know, probably got one locked down, but the other, there's a lot of good competition there. Bought in a lot of safeties that I think the UAB guy's taking is going to start opposite KJ, it sounds like. I put D line depth as a concern. I think there's some really good players there, but there's not enough of them, in my opinion.
Yeah. And that hurt us in 2012. That was the glaring thing in 2012 in the SEC championship, right? When Bama decided just to lean on the defensive line.
Well, it was a problem last year.
Oh yeah, it's been a problem to Georgia fans on the defensive line is different than a problem to somebody else. But
yeah,
it was not the standard.
Well, for 2 years,
not the standard.
You couldn't run.
Yeah,
and then you could in 2023 a little bit, and then in 2024 it was a little more.
Yeah. What was frustrating in that Notre Dame game last year was that when we knew they were going to run it, Georgia couldn't stop the run. And can they do it this year? We'll see.
So I think Christian Miller is going to be have a really big year, but can the freshman, the stud,
Elijah Griffin,
can he sustain? There's the JJ.
What position is he? Is he interior?
Defensive tackle.
A freshman defensive tackle is going to be relied on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a stud.
Well, he better be.
Yeah.
You know, that's not normally a position that freshmen.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, Eagles.
Jalen.
Oh, Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter. He did it.
Yeah, but he also had. But he had Jordan Davis beside him.
Yeah.
He's also Jalen Carter.
But I mainly put run game and stopping the run got to improve.
Yeah.
Sent y'all that girly video the other day. We ain't seen that in 10 years.
No.
So. We need somebody to step up back there. And I'm hearing good things. I think it's going to be better. I think it was a huge area of focus. But we couldn't run the ball.
I was reading some other day about, this may have been on On3, about they're comparing this year, Georgia's team, to the Jake Fromm first year, right? You've got Jake Fromm coming in, kind of known commodity in high school realms, but not college. You've got Gunner's kind of the same. You kind of picture him the same way. From Georgia, kind of just a good old boy deal. But the big difference in the team is that you had DeAndre Swift.
Right.
And you had dynamic playmakers at the running back position. This team doesn't seem to have.
Well, Fromm's first year, we had Chubb and.
Right. Fromm's first
Sony.
Year. Right. But then the next year, you had Swift. You had a little bit of. You knew what Jake Fromm can do. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see can the offense hold up? How long will it take them to jail? I think that's going to be important.
Yeah.
It sounds like through the scrimmages, it's been, you know, done pretty well.
Yeah.
What's the offensive line look like?
Young. Two bookend with experience.
And the center.
Freshman guard. who's a freak, apparently.
Juan Gaston.
They've been talking about him for 2 years, how he was probably going to play as a freshman. And now here he is. It doesn't happen often.
And you got Michael surrounded by experience and talent.
Got Drew Bobo in the middle, and then
Micah Morris. Yeah.
So Green and Morris were both hurt last year, which was the story of the season.
When you had the
they played 80%.
Freeling was hurt in the game against Notre Dame. So you hope that all these injuries and all these things come together. If it doesn't, then questions have to be asked. Yeah. Is Stacey Sorrell the guy to do it? Can he motivate? Because they all have the stars. They got the size. You have a good mix of talent and experience across the five of them. We'll see. That's the biggest question mark is offensive line.
Yeah.
I think Gunner can be a fine quarterback for Georgia. But he's not going to be able to do it himself. Like, he's got to have dudes around him.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Jake Fromm. Like, Jake Fromm was a fine quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had success. Everything went fine with Jake Fromm, but he had dudes around him.
Yeah.
Does Gunner have the dudes, whether it's on the offensive line where they can just, he can turn and hand the ball off when you need it on 3rd and 3, right? Or is he going to have to do something on 3rd and 8 more often than not?
Well, if we can get back to sub 15 points a game,
it
don't matter.
If anybody gets to sub 15 points, I'm with you.
I think they're going to play to that, though.
I remember an old Mickey Andrews quote that was, you know, their goal was to keep the opposing offense to 15 points or less and 300 yards or less. But in 2025 in college football,
that's hard to do.
There was a handful that did it last year. Ohio State was 12 and some change. Texas was right under 15.
Georgia did it a few years ago.
Yeah.
But
that was, I mean, 10.
Those are generational defenses.
Yeah. Texas is going to do it again this year.
And, I mean, I think these days a good defense is keeping people under 21.
That's what we did last year, about 21 a game.
With an offense that couldn't do that. They couldn't keep up with 21 a game.
Yeah.
And well, you had outliers too, like Alabama scored 42.
Yeah.
So that messed up the average a little bit. But
right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a total – I think they like this team better than last year.
Collectively as a group, I think it's a better team.
It was Jake that said the other day that there's just more depth on the team than there was last year. It's a deeper team.
Is there the high-end talent on this 2025 Georgia team? I'm asking the question. I don't know.
The blue chip ratio says so.
Yeah. Right. But are there some dudes – on this day, you know, you go into some seasons.
I think there are, but I think you have to. Georgia fans and even the larger collective college football fan, when you compare like a Georgia team to a Georgia team, like let's say, you can never compare the 21 team to the 25 team. It's like, they're not as good as this. Who is as good as that team?
Yeah. Right? Like, how many teams in the last 10 years?
I can think of three first round draft picks: CJ Allen, Christian Miller, maybe one of these receivers. Their way into that.
Yeah, it depends on the year. You got KJ Bolden, who may end up being a future first rounder. It's just hard to know. It's hard, and it seems like they're being real cagey with what they're saying. So
is Nate Frazier going to explode this year?
Can he be the guy?
What I'm hoping happens.
Yeah.
Shifting gears from Athens, let's go south to Tallahassee. Florida State comes into the season. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I texted you guys about it. Of course, they opened the year versus Alabama. 2 years ago, when Florida State was rolling, and you look ahead at the schedule and you say, okay, man, that'll be a fun game. Like two teams that are going to be playoff caliber teams each year. And then last year happened, and Florida State's 2-10. And you see that the success that Norvell put together just totally and completely erased. Like, there was no momentum caught. Like, he did not capture the momentum of a special 23 on the recruiting trail. Like, that's how you build programs into something that are, you know, legitimately going to stay in the conversation every year, is you have a good season, and then you parlay that into a great recruiting class, and then that recruiting class paired with a couple of dudes that are left over from the good season the prior. You know, and then next thing you know, those dudes are sophomores and things are just rolling. He never capitalized on what ended up being 13-1. Really, everything fell apart for Mike Norvell on whatever day that was in, what, December, when they got left out of the play. And it had just, it's been awful since. So looking at this Alabama game, I text you guys and I said, look, Florida State, like, there is a percentage chance that Florida State can win the game. Just like there's a percentage chance that, you know, whoever, you know, USF, when Alabama was playing them, like, there was a percentage chance. If it's 1% or 2% or 10%, whatever, like, there is a possibility. The odds are that they're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
And if they do win the game, I think it says more about what Alabama's not than what it says about what Florida State is.
At that point, in game one.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a great counter to that when you said Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois last year, and then they. But more often than not, your elite championship contender teams are going to win this type of game that Alabama's playing in week one versus Florida State. Like, they are the better, more talented team. They have way more dudes. I mean, they've got one of the best wide receivers in the country. They've got an offensive line that everybody says is the best in the country. And on top of those things, Florida State doesn't. Florida State's answer to those things. So Florida State's defensive line versus Alabama's offensive line, on paper, there is no comparison. Like, Bama should be able to run for 300 yards in this game. If they don't.
Now, Jim Miller's hurt.
They've still
their next guy is 165 yards last year. They're very unknown.
It's unknown.
I mean, I know they got five stars, but I just don't know who they are.
I mean, my point is like, I understand the blue chip ratio. Florida State did cross the 50% threshold, barely. Bama's at like 80-something percent. You know, it's just there's a significant talent difference. And in my opinion, and this will lead us into something coming up, a segment coming up, the unknown for me is Kalen DeBoer. Like, is he actually the man? Like, we think he probably is because his resume says he is.
Yeah.
But if you look at his team last year, way more talented than the teams they lost to. And just about everyone, if I'm not mistaken, was on the road. Right?
Yeah. That's what I think. I mean, we're getting into a game prediction, but it's having FSU at home to start the season off in a comfortable place. You know,
oh, if it was in Tuscaloosa,
No, you're comfortable where you, but I mean, as the you can talk about Alabama and FSU to kick the season off, but what about FSU like through the ACC? Is it like where are they there?
Well, most people are predicting them to be like
middle of the pack,
top six, which is behind teams like Duke.
Yeah,
like the ACC is not deep at all this year.
Yeah,
there are two, three teams that can win the conference, and then everybody at like the middle of the ACC might be, quote, deep, but it's like a bunch of average teams, including Florida State this year. Strengths and weaknesses for Florida State, a lot more weaknesses, I think, than there are strengths going into this season. One of our biggest issues is going to be defensive line depth, just like you were talking about for Georgia, except it's a different scale. Like our starters probably would be second and third team guys at other schools. And behind them, those dudes are going to be scout team, you know, at Georgia. It's just, now, does the new scheme help? Maybe Tony White runs a 3-3-5. And so, you know, you have fewer defensive linemen on the field, you know, but there's some size there. But to what you were saying earlier, Brian, relying on a freshman at defensive tackle to at least play a depth role, Florida State was going to be doing that with a freshman, Kevin Wynn, that was coming in. He's got the size. He's played like a man. He gets hurt in camp.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so, like, Daryl Jackson should be a good player for Florida State as your starter, but he's never played as a superstar. He's been a
role player.
Yeah, he's got plenty of potential. Like, so defensive line depth for Florida State, I think, is a problem.
What about the pass rush?
Yeah, same issue.
No ends to speak of.
They brought in the guy from Nebraska. I think his name is James Williams or something like that. I mean, he was a productive pass rusher at Nebraska, and he knows the scheme, he'll probably be okay. I think Tony White does a lot of like exotic blitzes and things like that to try to get pressure. I don't think it's going to come from the defensive line as much as it'll just come from hopefully somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
Like
yeah.
just get somebody, you know, get yeah. in the backfield.
Well, I think you have when you have a weaker defensive line, you have to come up with creative ways to get pressure elsewhere.
Right.
Because you're not going to just get it with four, right? Well, or even five.
Or three in this. I mean, you play yeah. three, you got a linebacker that's going to creep right. up and play it. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it there will be, in my opinion, like if Alabama just wants to line up and just mash the football with a new starter at quarterback, and we're just going to run the ball mm-hmm. down your throat, I think they can get 5 yards of play.
I forgot Justice Haynes left.
At Bama?
Yeah, he was two. He went to Michigan.
Yeah.
So that's why they're left with that guy that had 162 yards.
And imagine how demoralizing if it works out this way. Bama's running the ball at will, and then all of a sudden they're going to play action. Oh, and this dude that we're throwing it to over here might be the best wide receiver yeah. in the country.
I think they're going to throw a lot of screens.
I hope they do. I hope they do because –
that's kind of what this guy – so, you know, he did a year in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and apparently his power run game – is not what
no,
his,
it's not
his a, head coach was looking for.
I'll put it to you this way.
Seahawks won it.
I'll wrap up my Florida State versus Bama thought like this, and we're going to get into the game in just a minute. But if Nick Saban was bringing this team to Tallahassee, yeah. there would be a 0% chance that Florida State wins.
Yeah.
Because I trust Nick Saban.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with that. I trust Nick Saban to show up and have the game plan mm-hmm. to win that football game, and it might be, you know, 30-10. Yeah. You know, they might not put up 50, but we're not going to win the game if Nick Saban's coaching on the other side. Like, the reason I think we have a shot is because I'm not sold on DeBoer yet.
Yeah, good point.
We've been – this has been our kind of MO of Kalen DeBoer on this podcast the yeah. last 2 years, is last year and then now this year, is we don't trust him yet.
Not yet. I mean, and he proved us right last year several times. I mean,
yeah.
say what you want to, but if Nick
9-3 is not the standard at Alabama.
If Nick Saban had taken that team to Oklahoma last year, I know Oklahoma played well, and you got to give Oklahoma credit and all the things. And Milroe was bad, and when he was bad, he was bad. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm also leaving out some games where Milroe was playing for Saban, and you had so maybe it was the quarterback. You know, last year they said that he was, like, changing the plays that were being called in and like, ignoring
oh, wow.
offensive play calls.
Fumbled 3 times the other night in the preseason.
Yeah. I mean, but when he's right, he's right.
He'll be
yeah.
a running back in no time.
Yeah.
Not fumbling.
He was a great running back against Georgia last year.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. So let's leave those Georgia and Florida State previews. I also said one more thing real quick about Florida State. I think Castellanos will be a productive quarterback this year. If he gets hurt,
Oscar, that's my question. Who's behind him?
A freshman.
Do you think they'll be hesitant to run him?
They can't be.
He has to run in this game.
Well, I mean, and
a lot.
And you've got Gus's offense.
I was like, Gus is just, he's going to build the thing around him.
Yeah. He's got to run.
He is an equalizer.
Yeah. If he runs, I mean, you got a chance to score some points, but
mm-hmm. yeah. he's good at running his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
You know, though, I think that got blown out of proportion.
It did.
Even his media day comments where he addressed it again, he said, look, man, I don't mean any disrespect. I think he's trying too hard to pump up his guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And he sees that as a need for whatever reason. But anyway, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if it was worth it or not.
Yeah.
Come just a few. Well, what are some names to know in college football in 2025? We know all of the big ones. We know the Nussmeyers, and we know the Klubnicks, and, you know, the Ryan. You know, we know these guys. What are some names to know that maybe nobody's thought of?
One I have was Austin Simmons at Ole Miss.
Okay.
He came in last year in the Georgia game, and Georgia had just come out, scored, got an interception against Ole Miss in the rain. Unfortunately, I was there. And – you know, Dart goes down and is like, dogs are seeing blood.
Yeah.
And Simmons comes down and takes him 75 yards for a touchdown.
7 for 7?
Yeah. He was, pop, 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 and score. He seems to be the kind of quarterback that Lane Kiffin can work with. So he's a name I'm watching this year. I think as he goes, so will Ole Miss.
Okay.
If he tanks and he's not what he looked like that drive, mm-hmm. then maybe he's not the guy.
Yeah.
But I think he's at least somebody to look at early in the year.
I mentioned Nate Frazier earlier. I'm expecting big things from him. Yeah. We'll see. I think he's important.
Ball security last year was a problem for him, so at least fix some of that.
Yeah.
They can fix that. An entire
offseason.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with one that people probably know the name. I think he had somewhat of a breakout year last year, but he didn't just set the world completely on fire. But I think he's perfect for the system. I think he mirrors his head coach in mentality and toughness, and I'm going to go with Haynes King.
Oh, yeah.
I think Haynes King, if Georgia Tech has some success this year, it'll be because of Haynes King, and we'll be talking about him in November.
They really like his backup, too.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Is the guy from Prince yes. Avenue? Yeah.
Can't remember. It starts with a P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coached by Mark Rickson.
Yeah. Oh. They really like him.
I think
he was the leading passer in Georgia. Broke some record, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe
broke Trevor Lawrence's record.
Trevor Lawrence's yeah. record, I think. Yeah.
Trevor broke Deshaun's, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good company.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on from there, let's talk about some teams that we believe in and then teams that maybe nobody believes in that they should. So who are some teams we believe in going into this season?
That we do or don't believe
in? I'm sorry, that we don't believe in. Yeah, let's start there.
I'm going to differ from my dog counterpart over here. I'm not an Auburn believer. No. I just can't do it. I've read a lot about their quarterback battle, and I think Hugh Freeze came out and said all three are going to play in the first game. Mm-hmm. And that old adage, if you've got three, you got none.
Three play callers?
Mm-hmm. You got three.
Have you ever heard of that?
You've got a play caller for situations. It's nuts.
First, like, second, third down?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't
they
understand.
They ought to be prepared.
I started like thinking about that, though. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but
it gives you time off as a play caller.
But you have to be engaged, though, because you've got to compliment third down, compliment second down. Second down compliments fourth down. Like, it's going to be a different – I don't know how – if they can figure that out, then maybe that's the new way. But I can't start to believe in Auburn yet. I need to see it for a little bit, and we'll see Friday night. And they're playing Baylor.
Yeah, good
point. Early on, I'll speak to Baylor here in just a second. But Auburn, I just can't get past it right now.
Yeah, I got Arizona State as a team I think is going to fall.
This is a team that you don't believe in?
Yes.
That others do?
I think the running back was so good.
Mm-hmm. They returned their quarterback.
They do. They do. And a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they're the number 11 team in the country.
Oh, I think that's fair. I think they're an 8-4 team again this year.
They'll compete in the Big 12.
I do like their coach.
Yeah.
Yep. The Big 12 is such a mess.
That's what I mean. I was trying to figure out who was going to be the Big 12 champ, and I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
Well, they were picked 16th last year and won it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that happens even. But Scataboo was that good. He was that good.
Well, and was it Kenny Dillingham? I mean, I think he's
The bowl game performance was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was wild.
He threw a pass, caught a pass, and ran for several.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a bad man. Along the same lines, teams that I need to preface this by saying, like, I do not expect this team to be bad. Okay, I'm not convinced that this team is going to be great, and I'm going with Alabama.
You're saying relative to what people think they are?
Yes. So Bama's being picked by some to win the conference, some to win the national championship.
Yeah.
They've got the best offensive line in college football. They've got, you know, all the pieces that, you know, should lead them straight to the national championship game. But the question mark for me, again, goes back to DeBoer, he did bring in his guy at offensive coordinator, but that is the second coordinator in two seasons. You know, I'm not sold on Alabama right now. Now, I might be proven right if, you know, this coming Saturday they struggle at Florida State. I could be proven wrong on Saturday, too, if they go down there and score 50. You know, so.
But like you said, that game is more about what Alabama is or is not than Florida State. I don't know that if Bama comes out and scores 50 and wins by four touchdowns or three touchdowns, everybody's going to say, oh, that's what should have happened.
Right.
You won't know what Alabama is until a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah. Later in the month, right?
Right.
In late September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
So if Ty Simpson's everything they're talking about him being, I don't know, man. They could be pretty good. I think the defensively is where they're going to prove the most. That's what let them down in their losses last year. When they lost Deontay Lawson, that was their Roquan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's back, and he's a bad man. And they lost him against Vandy?
Early.
During the game.
Yeah, during the game against
him. And that's when it all – I mean, he's a first-rounder.
Yeah.
And they got some dudes back. I mean, I was
– What's their coordinator, Womack? That was
so
it?
It's his second year.
Second year as a coordinator, yeah.
I mean, what did we think was going to happen for the first-year guy following Saban? Honestly.
I think where Alabama disappointed me the most last year was the Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
Like, if you had said Bama goes 10-2 in the first year post-Saban, you think, okay, yeah, there'll be a slight little step back. And, you know, Saban wasn't, you know, just lighting the world on fire, you know, his last year
Dude,
or so.
Dude, Venables dialed something up for him.
I know. I keep going back
to. Two pick sixes. You can't win like that.
No, and you can't win scoring 3 points.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened. They didn't hardly have the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, they just kept on.
I can forgive if I'm a Bama fan, the Vandy loss. You know, you lose your best defensive player. They've got a quarterback.
Well, that's a catch light in a bottle kind of situation. Where, right. Like, once the ball got rolling. It's going to be hard to stop. Mm-hmm. Coming off of a big win against Georgia, like, that was going to.
But they're sitting there.
Trap game.
They're sitting there with the playoff in their grasp.
Yeah.
And they've got to beat Oklahoma and Auburn. Mm-hmm. And, I mean.
Yeah, it's really inexplicable, but it happened.
Yeah, oh, it happened. Yeah, yeah,
and
you're
then
right.
Turned around and did it again against Michigan.
Right.
An even worse possible performance from him.
Which I don't know if we even count bowl games anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to judge off a bowl game, yeah.
It really, you don't know who played.
It's like, was it Illinois that beat South Carolina? Is that the bowl matchup last year that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it was when, what's his name, ran his mouth?
Bielema, yeah.
I mean, I think Kyle Kenard sat out.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know who sat out.
Right. But what it did was it gave Illinois, you know, the, hey, well, everybody
they're on
was,
my list too.
Everybody was punching, you know, saying that Illinois didn't belong in the playoff, you know, all the things, which, by the way, they do return a quarterback too, so they might win enough games again this year to be at least in some conversation.
Their schedule's a lot harder, though.
Is it?
That's why they're on my overrated. I had 4 teams on there.
All right, teams that nobody believes in that they should.
I got Oklahoma at the top of my list.
Okay.
But they're starting to gain more national recognition.
They're also Oklahoma.
I think they got dealt a bad hand last year. Quarterback. Top 5 wide receivers out by the end of September.
Yeah.
7 or 8 O-line combinations. I mean, it was awful offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got a guy now.
Okay.
If his gambling stuff doesn't cost him the season. I hadn't heard much about that lately, have you?
No.
He said it was an inside joke between him and his friends.
Which,
like,
by the way,
it probably is. It probably is.
They can't prove it.
But you can't prove it wasn't either.
But they can't sit him for that.
I wouldn't sit him.
The NCAA has done crazier things.
I wouldn't see him. True. I would play him every game and make him, you know, retroactively forfeit my wins.
So can these guys play fantasy football?
Not for money.
Nothing.
I don't know.
I guess not. And I can see why they would
you
not want that to happen.
Just don't use Venmo, you idiot.
I know.
Yeah, really. All right, so Brian's got Oklahoma.
Baylor. I've been reading about Baylor. Baylor seems to be, because I've been reading about Auburn. They're returning a quarterback who was pretty sporty last year. He's a top, I think he was a top 40 quarterback coming out of high school, or top 40 player coming out of high school. Defensively, you've got Dave Aranda there, who's a defensive guy who I think will turn things around. They were pretty bad defensive last year. Like, I think their secondary was like 100th in the country in yards given up passing. But I think that Baylor is poised for, in a Big 12 that we just don't know about, they could be this year's Arizona State. They just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Well, they finished strong last year.
They did. They finished real strong. They won 6 in a row, maybe toward the end of the year. And they have a chance to come in. I think no matter who it is, whether I believe them or don't believe in them, if you go and you beat Auburn to begin this, that's a Kickstarter that everybody that you can build off of.
Auburn's got to go there.
That's what I mean.
That's weird to me.
If you beat Auburn.
I think Cal beat them last year at the beginning of the year.
Cal did?
Yeah.
Beat Auburn?
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, it's because Cal came over to like came to Auburn to Florida right. State. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think Baylor has a chance if they can get off the right start to be a pretty good
sleeper playoff. Guess what the line is in that game?
Well, I don't have any idea.
Auburn's favored by 1.5.
Give me Baylor.
Yeah, I'll take Baylor in that one for Ooh. Sure.
All right, the team that I think people are riding off, they said last year was a fluke, was SMU. And this is not to say that I think SMU is going to be a national championship contender. I certainly think SMU can be an ACC contender again this year. They returned their quarterback as well. I think his last name is Jennings, Kevin Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I rewatched, just a glutton for punishment, I rewatched the SMU-Florida State game from last year where in the third quarter it's 13-9 and Florida State's got the ball. And there were several like self-inflicted mistakes. I mean, Kyle Morlock, the tight end, is wide open for a first down.
Oh, gosh. It was like egregious.
Hits him in the face mask and pops up. And it's intercepted and returned all the way down to like the 10. There was a pick six later. Their defense played really well down the stretch. And I think Rhett Lashley is a good coach. I think they can challenge for the conference again and make the playoff. I don't know that, like I said, I don't think they've got the dudes on the offensive and defensive line to win a national championship. But I think a lot of people say, well, that you know, SMU didn't deserve to be there last year. That was a fluke. Their schedule did them some favors, et cetera. But I think they'll be in the conversation again this year. Moving forward, let's make a Heisman prediction. Let's make a Heisman prediction in August. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I'm going to do this first for everybody's sake. Your top eight odds on favorites. Arch Manning, obviously, for who knows why. Cade Klubnik's second.
We know why.
His last name's Manning. Garrett Nussmeier's third. It's according to ESPN. So this is Garrett Nussmeier's third. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. Lenore Sellers is fifth. Drew Aller, Penn State. Ty Simpson, another one's kind of out there. Alabama, seventh. Carson Beck, eighth. My Heisman pick is not any of those. I think none of those eight will win. I've got Jeremiah Love as my Heisman winner from Notre Dame.
So when's the last time it was a non-quarterback?
So since 2000, there have been 25 Heisman winners. 20 of them were quarterbacks. So 20 of the last 20. The last time it was non-quarterback was last year with Travis Hunter.
Mm.
But you've had several in the last few years. You had Travis Hunter. You had the wide receiver from Alabama that won it in 2020.
Deontay?
Smith.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Devonta.
Yeah. So, I mean, there have been several of those dudes, but then just about every year it's a quarterback.
Yeah.
Just about every year.
Which is why you see this list. I mean, you've got, of the eight, there is one.
I put six names down and four more quarterbacks. I got Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams on there, too, though. I got Klubnik winning it, though.
I like the Love pick.
I just think that they've got they're going to run the ball because their offensive line is just going to mash you.
Mm-hmm.
New quarterback. Notre Dame's the Notre Dame name that'll carry the name. The name will carry him no matter the season.
If he runs for 1,500 yards, he's going to be in.
That's right. So a lot of it's just the brand, right? He was impressive to me last year in their run.
Penn State?
Yeah. He's not in the top eight odds on favorites, but I think he has a chance to be pretty special.
So you took Klubnik, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a running back. I'm probably going quarterback just to play the odds, and I want to say Klubnik. I remember what he was 2 years ago, and I know that's not fair, but Clemson fans wanted him off the team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he cost them games 2 years ago, and last year he had a great season. He's returned now. He's, a fourth-year junior or something like that. So, I mean, I think it'll be a quarterback, though.
He had a good outing to end the season against South Carolina and in the I don't remember the championship game, but then against Texas he showed some grit in that game.
Yeah,
ended up throwing like three TD passes there in the second half, like made it a game. I think he ended on a high note.
I don't know if I believe in Drew Aller.
Yeah, he's Penn State's a team that I had kind of down my list on teams that I don't believe in.
He had
collectively
his own,
as a team.
He had his own version of Brock Bowers, you know, and what was
Warren.
It, Tanner Warren or Tyler, I can't remember. Warren was his last name. I think it's Tanner.
They retooled their room too.
Yeah, Penn State's going to be good.
They went and got three guys. Yeah. They got that duo of backs, man.
Let's look forward to these week one games. Let's start with Ohio State hosting Texas.
Are we picking now, or are we just going to talk about
them? Let's go ahead and pick them. Let's talk about them and pick them.
So I heard something on the way here. A lot of analysts are saying Texas is going to dominate this matchup at every position group.
SEC analyst?
No, national. Except wide receiver. But everywhere else, Texas has the edge.
Okay. So you're taking Texas?
I'm taking Texas on a lot of things.
Okay. All right. All right. I wrote that under Kyle. Let me put this under Brian. Texas. All right, Kyle.
You're at Ohio State. They both have new quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Both should have elite defenses, right? Texas probably on the, I would call them 1A, mm-hmm. right?
A lot defense. More returning.
A lot more experience returning. I do think home field wins out. I think I'm taking Ohio State.
Okay.
I'm calling it the new QB Bowl, by the way.
I'm going.
They're both brand new starters.
Saiyan had, they didn't call that battle until right. very recently.
Yeah, like last week.
Bobby Carpenter said it was very
Yeah,
close.
And they had a defensive lineman from Texas that like put it on his Instagram or something, like shared when Ohio State announced he was the quarterback, and the Texas defensive lineman put it on. Big talk.
I'm taking Ohio State as the home team.
I don't think either one of them season's over with a loss.
No.
I mean, that might be a preview of the national championship game.
Yeah.
I could see Arch going off. I could also see him struggling in that environment. It is a noon game,
yeah.
which is weird. Big noon kickoff and all of that. But if this were a night game in Columbus, it would give Ohio State an even bigger advantage, I think. All right, let's look at Bama at Florida State. This is a 3:30 kick next Saturday. The weather's going to be much nicer.
86.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Florida State has brand new turf. Like it's like 2 weeks old.
Yeah, it's not that old.
It will be 2 weeks old.
Is it better than Dublin's?
I hope so.
Everybody's been talking about that.
I don't know.
I'll go first. Bama's favored by 13.5, according to the line that I saw currently. I'm going with Bama.
I put Bama no cover.
Close.
Okay. Yeah, I think 10-point game.
So we're picking outright, though, right? I'm writing down your outright picks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bama. Yeah,
I think it's going to be like 27-17 type game.
I can tell Nothing you, if it's 27-17, Florida State fans everywhere will be happy with that.
Sure.
And Bama fans will be ringing their everything they have to ring.
Yeah.
They will be up in arms if it's 27-17.
It's more likely that Bama blows Florida State out than it is that Florida State wins the game.
What about Florida State keeping it within two touchdowns?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. Two new coordinators, completely new offensive line, new quarterback.
Is Chroma the starter?
No, but he's going to play a lot.
Yeah,
he's going to play a lot. He might be the starter. They haven't released the depth chart. But, I mean, on offense, you have like two returning starters.
What if he was baby Fournette and just came on the scene?
Well, if he is, we might be Saturday. Bama. But, I mean, I just don't – I'm not counting on it.
Yeah.
And completely new defensive line, you know, new secondary. I mean, it's just – everything is new grass on the field. Like everything,
new seats
is
on
new.
The home side.
Yeah,
like
everything is new.
Yeah.
There's nothing there to tell me that you know they have what it takes. Now they might surprise me, but I'm taking Bama.
Gus has got that Bama kryptonite.
He had Nick saving kryptonite.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we can score some points. I hope we could score more than 15, which was our season average last year.
I mean, we talked about Castellanos earlier. He's got enough. He's got that Diego Pavia, like, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Like,
throw it to you.
Well, true, but like, I'm a self-made man. Like, I'm going to depend on me to get the job done. Now, he did get beat out of Boston College, which is why he left. Let's not forget that.
Well, he did, but that was a completely new offensive system. He went from one that allowed him to run the ball to Bill O'Brien, where he's supposed to be a pocket passer, and it's just not his thing.
I just don't. The way he left does not bode well for a quarterback position that's supposed to be a leader. And he's trying to kind of rectify some of that, I think, in some of his actions and antics and things he said Florida State.
What if he goes like 16 for 100?
You got
a ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if anybody else on the offensive side can do anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a name to watch there, too. Randy Pittman.
He's a tight end that transferred from UCF. He was with...
That's who I was talking about.
He was with Gus, and he had like 500 yards receiving last year, which is pretty good for a tight end.
Yeah.
Entirely new wide receiver room, like all three wide receivers. Squirrel White, who's recovering from an injury.
Yeah, always.
Deuce Robinson, who was pretty good at USC. He's the one right now. And then a freshman.
Yeah.
Javon Boggs. So expect him to hit Randy Pittman on third down. Like, that's going to be his dude. All right, let's move to Notre Dame at Miami. Of course, Notre Dame coming off the national championship game appearance. Miami, you know, faltering down the stretch like Miami does last year, bringing in Carson Beck in the offseason. Who you got?
I got Notre Dame in a tight one. I think it's going to be a good game. They got to turn around and go to A&M. A&M goes to South Bend this time.
I don't remember. After I didn't look that far ahead.
Yeah, that's their first two opponents. Pretty stacked schedule.
I've got Notre Dame. Carson Beck is what he is. Is he healthy? Is my main question.
Say he is.
They say he's healthy. We'll see.
Heard it's been a good move for him.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not picking Miami. Notre Dame, baby.
It's hard to get me to pick Notre Dame when I've got a Heisman. I have a Heisman favorite is Notre Dame here, and I picked them for the first game.
Speaking of potential playoff previews, LSU at Clemson.
I've got Clemson. Brian Kelly may have to beat the table again after a week one loss.
I got Clemson
against the premier team.
I got tight. I think it's going to be tight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. It's going, you know, it's going to come down to the last possession or two. It's also at Clemson. It's the Battle of the Death Valleys. I saw today people were comparing, like, you know, the whole Cracker Barrel situation. It was like, which one is the new Cracker Barrel?
LSU's got a lot of new.
Except for the quarterback.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about not trusting coaches, I don't trust Brian Kelly to go win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Kelly had Florida State beat 2 years ago and decided to, you know, kick the extra point instead of go for two after it just improbably come. I mean, he makes boneheaded.
I've been watching that Inside the SEC on Netflix, and LSU's one of the featured teams. Mm-hmm. And I was agnostic on Brian Kelly. I just don't like him now.
Yeah.
Like, after watching, I'm just like, this guy, I just don't like him.
Yeah. I mean, he had the Heisman Trophy winner, and what did he win with him?
Yeah, like eight games.
Yeah, I mean, he won the West or whatever the last year that there were divisions.
That was the year we played them, 53-35 or something.
Well, that's when Nussmeier came in and actually had a good game, a good second half against Georgia.
Yeah, I think LSU will be a fine team this year. I just don't see him going on the road week one. Kelly can't win week one games. And, you know, if all things are equal, the game's in Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a night game at Clemson.
Yeah, they'll be ready. They'll definitely be ready for it. Clemson fans will.
I'm going to skip this next line on our agenda here, and we'll save that for a week when we actually, you know, need to fill some time.
Well, here's why we've talked so long. Like, this is probably a question for the group. Has there ever been a better week one slate?
Ooh.
I mean, have you had Texas, Ohio State, Bama, Florida State, Notre Dame, Miami, LSU, Clemson? You're talking out of those eight teams. Seven of them are legitimate.
Should be eight, but Florida State didn't hold up their end of the deal.
But legitimate, at the time they were all scheduled, it was eight legitimate playoff contenders. Right now you could feasibly get to a situation where seven of those eight teams are ranked 1 through 7.
Yeah, absolutely you could. Also, we might see games like this go away.
We definitely will.
Like, I don't know how much longer we're going to see these season openers, marquee matchups.
Unless they're going to pay you big time for wins, which they did not do last year.
Right.
They penalized you for losses. But if they're going to weigh wins.
I think they got to be weighed evenly.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Like,
they didn't ding Notre Dame for
How
a
you
loss.
Going to beat two top 10 teams and you lose three more teams who may not be ranked, but those top 10 wins didn't mean anything. It's that you lost.
I think the losses offset the top 10 wins. You had three of those versus two of them. I mean, you know.
Who are you talking about, Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some good wins.
Yeah.
So did Ole Miss.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
I know.
I just, they've never valued wins enough. And losses have always been the killer.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right.
But you've always heard, well, you can lose in September, but you cannot lose in November.
You can go back 30 years and have the same conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like teams that lost one game.
Absolutely.
And they were the best team in the country, and they get, you know, they're done at that point. And
23, Georgia.
Yeah. Or 23, Florida State.
Yeah.
They beat LSU to open the season. Didn't mean a thing.
No, none of these games matter.
Didn't mean a thing that year.
None of these games that we just talked about matter at all.
And they beat that team by like 24 points, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was a blowout. Yeah. But anyway, all right, let's move on to conference championship picks. Who wants to go first?
Where we'll start what conference?
Let's start with the ACC. We'll try to go alphabetically here.
I got Clemson winning the ACC. Yeah. I just think it's a very strong conference, like you mentioned earlier. A lot in the middle. I mean, your only contender really may be SMU, potentially Miami, if they come back with Carson Beck, if he can be what he was in 22. Excuse me, in, was that 23? Like Clemson.
Georgia Tech.
I don't believe in Georgia Tech.
You don't believe in them?
Not to win the conference. What you got?
Clemson.
Clemson. Yeah, I'm going Clemson. I think your championship game will be Clemson versus Miami or SMU, but I'm taking Clemson. All right, Big Ten. Everybody's picking Penn State.
I'm picking Penn State.
I've got Ohio State winning it.
That's safe.
I also have Ohio State beating Michigan this year.
How do y'all
year.
Feel about Franklin?
I don't
as
like
a
him.
Dude, like I don't like him at all.
Yeah,
but he's done a pretty good job.
Yes,
you know, I don't think he's an elite coach.
No,
I'm taking. Gosh, I hate to do it. I'm taking Ohio State.
That was me. I wanted to pick somebody else. I wanted to pick
two new coordinators.
Yeah,
at Ohio State,
and lost a ton.
They just got so much. I mean, they've recruited as well as anybody named Bama and Georgia. Yeah,
they sure have.
Well, they have an elite returner on the defense side of the ball in Caleb Downs.
Mm-hmm. Might be the best player in college.
Right.
He might win the Heisman.
An elite returner can say and get it to him, but on Jeremiah Smith, like you've got elite talent coming back there.
Mm-hmm. How about the Big 12? Who knows?
That
the field?
Toss up, yeah.
I did Iowa State just because they already have one up.
Okay.
And that was an awesome game.
Yeah.
That was a really fun game to watch. I thought you couldn't see what yard line they were on because the paint, like, went away.
Right. They kept redoing it.
I had Iowa State / Baylor. I really believe in Baylor this year. I think in an open conference like that, it's they got a shot.
I think Rocco is a really good player.
I honestly have no idea. And just to upset the apple cart, I'm going Arizona State again. I just like Kenny Dillingham. You know, there was a four-way tie for first place last year.
Yeah.
And two teams got to play in the championship game, and Arizona State was one of them. I could absolutely see this year being the same, and tiebreakers determine who goes to the championship game. All right, in the SEC.
I got Texas.
My heart says Georgia, but Texas, I think, is the winner. It should be, I mean, if we're picking. They have a Georgia problem like Georgia has a Bama problem.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. The previews that you have, Texas has some big games through the season.
Here's what I'll say. To me, there are three teams that I think stand the best chance of winning the conference. And then there are like two or three teams that if they play really well, they'll be in Atlanta. So LSU's one of those teams. Like, they could play well and get to Atlanta. But to me, it's Texas, Georgia, Bama. Georgia has Texas's number. They have had Texas's number. I don't believe in DeBoer, so I'm taking Georgia.
I like it.
I think, I mean, if I've got to pick somebody I believe in, it's Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
defensively he's the answer. And you also have Sarkisian's kind of your offensive smart at this point. I mean, people believe in what he does. Is Arch going to be Arch, like who they think he is?
Yeah.
Now, part of me is like, y'all have built this kid up to be something, and if he's anything short of it, his psyche better be better than Carson Beck's. Let me just say that.
I mean, if he throws for 2,800 yards and 22 touchdowns and four picks, everybody's going to say it's a disappointing season.
Right.
And that would be the stat line for a really, really promising player that could turn around and go number one overall next year.
Right.
I think to me it's less about Arch. It's more about Sark. He ain't going to have a bad quarterback. Never has.
We'll see. That's a wrap on episode 1 week one of the Southern Football Report. Tune in. You can hear the Southern Football Report on the Flint Media family of radio stations on Saturday mornings. You can also download it on your favorite podcast app. Take it with you. Listen to it at your convenience. We'll be back next week. We'll see how we did with our picks. We'll know a lot about some of these teams. Some of them we won't know anything else about. We'll just, I don't know, man. Maybe Florida State just had a good day. We'll see. That's been the Southern Football Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.